Numbers 13. Numbers 13. It's a long read, but I'm going to jump from different pieces. If you know the story, this is the story of Moses and Aaron, God telling Moses, call some people, the leaders of the tribe, 12 of them, have them go and spy on the land. And then when they come back with the report, we'll execute. But that's the context, summary of it. In Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. This is what God has said. I am giving it to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man. I'm reading from the exactly New King James. You shall send a man, everyone a leader amongst them. So these are leaders. These are not just followers. These are leaders in their own right. So Moses sent, verse 3, Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord. All of them, men who were heads of the children of Israel. So these are leaders in their own right. Moses calls them and says, look, God is telling you to go and spy the land. God has given you a charge. He has given you a commandment. It's like the beginning of the year. You lay down your goals. We did 100 days fasting in 2025. I'm sure you heard something that God would say. God must have spoken to all of us. Do this, don't do that. Go and possess this land. Start doing this, stop doing that. So he gives us this charge. He gives us this command. In verse 17, then Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains. Watch this. God tells you to do something, and he also gives you the know-how. I'll submit to you that when God speaks, it's not just say go. There's also the how. Oftentimes, when God speaks, we don't wait for the how. We don't wait for the timing. And then we execute in our own strategy. Imagine if Abraham had not listened to God when God said, go and sacrifice Isaac. He kept on listening. So God will speak. He would also give you the strategy to execute. There is always a strategy. For some of us that are not, I'll say that we just like to be spontaneous, just move. Sometimes this is where the downfall or the caveat in that regard is, whereby you have taken time to download from God, go north or move. And then he's saying, go through the south. So it's very specific. God gave details to Noah. God gives us details when he speaks. In verse 18, he says, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage. Verse 20. And bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So God was telling them, or Moses was telling them, this is what God says, go and spy the land. He calls 12 elders. Journey with me. So we're at verse 20. So I'm going to jump to verse 26. It says, and then now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. it was truly, it truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in there, do dwell in the land, are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. That's their own report. 12 spies go. They give this report. Caleb jumps in verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us what? Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." We are not able to do it. There's nothing that you want to do that God has told you to do that there will not be opposition. It's a fallacy to think because you've prayed, you've fasted, and God has given a word, the devil will just be passive. No. There's going to be resistance. But the men who had gone up, he says, "We're not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we." Who told them that? He says, verse 32 says, "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone has spices. It, as spies, is a land that devours its inhabitants.'" He says, "And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants." And what? "And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight." I don't know how they saw that, but that's their own testimony. So we were in their sight. Verse 33. For the next few minutes, I want to just charge us up from the Word of God. The same zeal, the same passion, the same excitement that you had at the beginning of the year. I don't know what goals seems to not be aligning, but there are a number of things that you can do over the next 30 days that you can still key into whatever God has told you in 2025. You are able, if you are titling a message, you are able to possess it, whatever that is. It took God 7 days or 6 days rather to create the whole earth. Let's not even count November 30. There's still 31 days left in this year. There's a lot that could be done. There's a lot that could be done. The first thing that I will say as we look at this story, he says, "Who sent you?" That's the when we're talking about execution, when we're talking about you being able to access whatever it is God wants you to do, you have to be convinced of who sent you. You have to know what the Word of God has said concerning that situation. I get amazed sometimes when people say, "It work." I'm like, how will it work? I just know it will happen. God has been merciful to you. But this biblical way for faith is a word from God. Faith is in something. Let me give you an example. If I stand on this stage right now and I say, "I'll give you $10. If you come, I'll give you $10. Some of you come believing it's Pastor T, he may be able to afford $10, right? If I say, "I'll give you $1,000, some will be like, okay, Christmas is coming. Thank you, Jesus. I'll give testimony next Sunday. Pastor T will give me $1,000. If I say $100,000, some of you just say, "Pastor T, I don't know if you're going to give $100,000. If I say $1 million, people will just be like, he's just joking. Why? I am the one that said it. Fast forward, let's say it was a Jeff Bezos or the richest man in the world says, come here, I'll give you $1 million. All of you would run here. Why? It is the person that is saying it. If you don't know him, his words would still not matter. And that's why the scripture is the only book that you can read where the author is physically present while you're reading it. He can help you guide. He can help you interpret. He can guide you into all truths that pertains to your situation. So the first thing here is the children, the spies, Caleb and Joshua. They knew that, okay, it is Moses and Aaron that have told us this. And they understood there must be a relationship, or there is a relationship between God and Moses. God has been directing this man. Now he's telling us, God said we should go. We are going. We are able to. Not in our own strengths. Please, those giants were still there. So I don't know whatever it is that he has told you. Scripture tells us in Hebrews, it says, there's something. Hebrews, give me Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. What does the word say? It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We understand it. It's a surety. If you are going to possess this land in the next 30 days, please go back to, what did God tell you? What did he tell you? What has he said from his word? Oftentimes, we talk about God, but we don't know him. There is no fellowship. There is no relationship. In this situation is who has sent you. In Bible days, and even in the kingdom, when a king sends a message to you through a rider, a dispatch, the dispatch person is not afraid of who is going to deliver the message to, because he knows who sent him, the king. So the first thing is, please go back and open your book. God, but you said, you told me this, whether it's relationship, whether it's marriage, whether it's business, whether it's finances, whether it's your ministry, whether it's your health, children, whatever it is that he has told you, you are able to possess that land. The second thing we see here is focus. There's something powerful about focus. If you look at the camera, folks, I can take a shot that is out of focus. I will take the shot, but I will not be able to use that picture. Why? Because it is blurry. It's not in focus. Focus is a powerful tool, and you cannot be focused at everything at every time. I'll say this. My wife was telling me that men cannot multitask. I don't know if I said it before. Men cannot multitask. So we were driving, and she was talking to me that men cannot multitask. And I was driving, and I stopped driving, and I was like, what do you mean men cannot multitask? And she said, my point, exactly. Let me tell you something. It's a lie of the enemy that he can do everything. No. You cannot do everything the same way at the same time. People that have multiple things going for them, they maximize things in its season. There's something God has been teaching me recently about the law of process. I'm learning it and I'm growing in it. There are certain things that would never happen if you don't have the right structure to hold it. it's a fallacy for you to think it will happen. What am I saying? Focus. Eight people were distracted about the size, the fruit, all of those things. Caleb and Joshua, they focused. God said it. That's my focus. Sometimes people that are focused, you think they are fanatics or you think that they don't care. There is something that you have to do in the next 30 days. You can't be on Facebook. You can't be everywhere. You can't pick up every call. It's precision and accuracy. Over the next 30 days, we are trying to execute because we want to be stronger than we came into 2025. We want to leave 2025 stronger than we came into it. I have to focus. What you focus on will grow. And let me tell you this. Distraction comes with noise and is designed to quiet the voice that you need for your clarity and your direction. Number three, enlarged capacity. Later on in Exodus, let me read it. Let's read Exodus chapter 23, please. Exodus chapter 23. God was saying, I will increase you little by little. Exodus 23. I would increase you, Exodus 23 verse 30. I would increase you little by little. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until what? You have increased and you inherit the land. There's something about your capacity that you need to stretch. Certain things don't happen sometimes, not because God doesn't want to do it, but because God knows if I give you now, it will kill you. Isaiah 54, verse 2. Isaiah 54 verse, let me start from verse 1. It says, sing, O barren, you who have not bore. Please, you can give me Isaiah verse 1. 54 verse 1. Isaiah 51, sorry, 54 verse 1. Sing, O barren, you who have not bore. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Verse 2, it says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. There is something about capacity that you need as you are possessing the land. Why? You need capacity for two reasons. One, to dispossess the opposition that is there. Two, to be able to maintain possession. There's a level of making money. That if you don't have the capacity for, it will crush you. Sometimes people say, I'll give God $100,000, or I give God $1 million, or I give God $50, or whatever it is. There's a capacity that you need. If you have not been able to execute since January to November, the next 30 days, it has to be a different you. Find out why is it that you have not been able to execute. It may be you thinking differently. It may be you reading more books. It may be you talking to other people. It may be you finding how people that have done it, ask them, how did you do it? You know, there's this notion that I don't want anybody to help me. Leverage, don't labor. Leverage. Do not labor. You can do it by yourself, but it will take you 100 years. I don't know about you. Me, I don't have 100 years. But if you leverage resources and you leverage people around you, people that God has strategically placed in you, you will find out that the answer that you're looking for, he has deposited it in people around you. And that's why you should pray for right counsel. To possess this land, if I'm going to be able to possess everything that God has said, everything that he has told me to do in 2025 that I have not been able to do up until now, is it a capacity issue? If it is a capacity issue, then I need to stretch myself. If I've not read any book, maybe I need to read 2 books in that area. If I don't know any scripture, God has said, God has told you, you will be a wealth person, you will lend to nations and you will not borrow, and you don't have 5 or 6 scriptures that you are meditating on daily, it's a fallacy. He has called you to be a healing evangelist. Find 4 scriptures on healing. Read books on healing. Listen to podcasts on healing. Listen to things. You are developing your capacity. Then, number 4. So number 1 is, who sent you? You need to know what the word of God has said and who sent you. Number 2 is, you need to, where's your focus? I need to maintain my focus on what God has said. Sometimes if care is not taken, social media and distractions just take your focus away. Number 3, enlarge your capacity. I need to develop capacity in the things God has said concerning me. And then number 4, law of process. I was talking about this earlier on. There's something about God's timing. When you read scripture, understand that Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 is not Monday and Tuesday. You understand that? When God tells Abraham, I will give you a son, this is God. God. Let's just look. I like Abraham. God says, I'll give you a son. It wasn't through a prophet. God says, I will give Abraham a son. What happened? It took 25 years. If God had given Abraham that son immediately, Abraham did not have the capacity at that time to sacrifice Isaac. Capacity. Timing. If God had given him at that point and then now demanded, let's sacrifice this boy. Ha. Abraham would voicemail. Yeah, God, you have given me voicemail. Because he had not. And how do we know this? He went to go and have relations with Sarah's maid. If he had believed, certain things, he was still stumbling. He was still staggering. He was still telling lies here. Oh, she's just my friend. She's my sister. She's not my wife. There is something about his conviction. And God knows when you are ready. See, God is waiting for you so that he can bless you. God is not going to be more powerful next year or next week. What he wants to do, he wants to do it now. But he needs to understand, and you need to be ready for that increase. Understanding the law of process. You are going to have to grow into it. I often ask myself, why didn't Jesus just come like that? Boom. Jesus, Mary still carried Jesus for 9 months in the belly. And Mary will be tired. She will have gone through all the trimesters, first trimester, second trimester, all of those things. Process. As long as the earth endures, seed, time, and harvest shall not cease. You see, the thing about process is this. God may be nudging you. Okay, I want you to, as from January or February or even March at the beginning of the year, he would have been giving you instructions. If you had been following those instructions, you will start to grow in stature and grow into the things he wants you to do, so that by November or December, you are able to execute. I know people say there's speed, there's grace, there's all of those things. Yes, but capacity. Recently, I was having a conversation with my wife, and there was some report that I was supposed to have sent out like 90 days, 100 days before it was due. And a week before, was it a week? Maybe about 15 days before it was due, it popped up on my reminder. I was like, Jesus is Lord. And then I had to start doing all this thing, scrambling. I sent it. I was praying to God. God, let it be approved. Let it be approved. I don't want to have to go through this whole process again, blah, blah, blah. And it was approved. And my wife said something. She said, why do you like living on the edge? You should have just done this thing since. Process. If you do the things that you're supposed to do at the time you're supposed to do it, you will begin to grow. Some of us, God is nudging us, start to pray now. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You are fine. You are fine. But he's trying to develop you for the next 5 years. He's nudging you now so that in 5 years' time, when the day, I keep saying this, I don't know why I'm saying this, the day of adversity, it's a day. Every one of us will go through it. Scripture says if you fail in the day of adversity, it is because your strength is little. So he's telling you to start to develop capacity. Develop it, and it's a process. Processes, it will take 9 months for delivery. Now, how many of you, if a baby comes out in 2 months, will all of us will be praying? Why? Because the baby hasn't taken time to develop the process. If the baby is still there 18 months, what happens? We will be praying. Medical doctors won't even allow that. They will bring the baby out. We cannot eat certain food if it's undercooked. It will make us sick. Right? And if we, the same food, if we overcook it, we can't eat it. Process. The know-how. The fifth thing that I'll say is this. I'm a firm believer in this, and I say this all the time because it's my conviction. While I'm not where I want to be, I'm not where I used to be. I give God thanks. I may have tried to do 100 things this year, and I was only able to do one. I thank God. Why? Because Jesus, when he was going to increase 5 loaves and 2 fish, it says, I give God thanks. And then he was, why? Because God always hears me. And then he multiplied it. When he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he gave God thanks. Scripture tells us in in Psalm 67, it says that when you and I praise God, 67 verse 5 and 6, we should praise God. Let's read it. Let the people praise you, O Lord. O God, let the people praise you, verse 6. Then the earth shall yield its increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. I am not saying you should not understand why you were only able to accomplish one. But the fact that you accomplished one, I'm making progress. I see this in relationship where Pastor T was supposed to do 20 things. He wasn't able to do his own. I did my own. I don't understand what's going on here. Blah, 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 blah. The same God that helped him do one. Let's figure out how God can help him do the 20. But let's thank God. Let's thank God. Some of you are sitting down here. You're acting all cool, calm, collected. Where you are sitting now is prayer. You fasted. God, if you can't do this, God, you cried. Now God has done it. You have forgotten. No. You sent email, you cried. If I can marry. Now you're married. You're like, this marriage thing. God, I want children. Now God has given you 3. These children. Never forget to give God thanks. You are November 30th. and you look back and all of the mishaps. Look back at all of the mishaps. And you're like, okay, God, but I thank you. This year, a lot has happened this year. For some of us, we don't look like what we have been through. And please don't let the suits fool you. Don't let the long hair fool you. No, we don't look like what we have been through. And it is simply the grace of God. And we recognize it. Someone said, well, is it just thanking God? Yes. For when we get to heaven, what are you going to do? We are going to continue to worship and praise God. So you might as well get used to it. Give God thanks. Nobody wants to be around somebody that is always complaining. And that's what the other 8 spies were doing. Oh, we can't do it. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. Mindsets. Why? Because they did not recognize what God had. At least God brought us here. He told us to go and spy. There is fruit. Look of the bright side.
I was having a conversation. This is, I'll try to paraphrase so the person will know what I'm talking about. As in, I think back then, for those of you that remember junior secondary, WAEC, junior, is it? Yeah. Junior secondary exam. I think it's junior WAEC. I had a friend and he sat down for 12 subjects and he got 9 A's and 3 C's. And his dad was like, what happened to the people that got all A's? Me, I had 6 A's and 4 C's. We had a party in my house. Perspective. Why? If you fail to give God thanks, it's pride. And this last one is what I believe cripples. Fear. Let me tell you something. Another word for faith is risk. Another word for faith is risk. What if it doesn't work? What if it works? What if this business fails? What if it succeeds? I will do everything that I can do in my power, but I am going forward. I am going forward. Why? Because God has said it. When fear comes knocking, nobody has done this thing. Have you lived this life before? No. Like, we are all walking through life with faith. In marriage, you have not married her before. Even if you have married before, you've not married this particular person. So we are figuring this thing out. But there is no fear. Fear is, think about this. This spies, they were now complaining in chapter 14, verse 1. Talking about, okay, we need to go back. Moses and Aaron, you guys just brought us here to die in the wilderness. They were thinking about, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go and beg Pharaoh. Fear. I'm telling you, fear has crippled many more destinies than even the devil himself. What if it doesn't work? What if it works? Fear of the unknown. Fear of going outside my comfort zone. Fear of starting something new. Fear of being by yourself. You should be willing to stand for something. 2 people, think about it. If it was majority carried the vote, Caleb and Joshua were in the minority. But they stood their ground and they stood with their convictions. Fear should not be a crippling factor in our lives. But unfortunately, it has. And I can tell you why. Is other people have done it and they failed. Bless God for them. I don't know why they failed. But for whatever reason, this is what God has told me to do. And I'll try to execute it with the best of my ability. What if? That what if syndrome has crippled many folks.
Don't let fear stop you from entering. And some of that fear will be like, well, how are you going to do it in the next 30 days? You didn't do it in 11 months. Now you're going to do it in 1 month. That's why he's God. If I was God, I'll have that answer. But I know what I'll do. I'll give thanks. I'll focus on the word. I'll start to enlarge my capacity. I'll focus on the things that he has said to me. And I would kill and eliminate fear. God has said it. I am moving towards it. I see this in relationships. What about me? What about me? Fear. Fear. There's a lot of fear right now. The economy is doing this. The president said that. The government said this. I'm telling you, the same God that brought you to this land, he will establish your feet. You can't let fear come in and cripple you. Scripture says that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but that of power, of love, and a sound mind. That means somebody, something, some situation gave you that fear. And in order for you to have it, you must receive it. When fear is passing by, just let it pass. Let it go where it's going. You don't have to take it in. I will not fear their fear. I used to listen to news recently, earlier in the summer, and I was just like, okay, I just stopped it. Fear sometimes is driven by the information that you are receiving. Change your diet. Change your mindset. I ask a question. How did those people know that they were like grasshoppers in the eyes of those other people? I don't understand. You can't tell me how I'm looking at you. Fear. And enough fear. Now, when I say we want to go back to cucumbers in Egypt that God has delivered you from, there's something about growth pains. Growth is not convenient. Growth is not comfortable. Growth is you breaking new territories, and you need to be comfortable with being uncomfortable about situations. That's it. Change is inevitable. We are going to grow. We are going to advance. There are going to be new things we're doing. Think about it for a second. I think in the history of this church, I think this is the first time Pastor Emmanuel has gone this long. It's new for him. He's stretching himself. As he's stretching himself, we will stretch ourselves. Amen? We can't let fear cripple us. What if you silence fear with faith in God? I want us to pray as I close. It's a simple prayer. I'm using the words of Caleb and Joshua in Numbers 13:30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." And that's the prayer that I want you to pray. As I wrap up, you don't have to stand up. You can just sit down there. Lord, help me possess this land. Whatever it is that you have given to me, whatever it is you have committed into my hand, everything that you have given to me as a church, as a family, as individuals, help me possess it. Whatever vision, whatever plans, whatever goals, whatever things that you have placed in this hand that I am yet to walk in, that I am yet to possess in 2025, open up doors. Help me possess it. Not by my own strength, not by my own power, but by your favor. It says God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that in everything you will have all sufficiency for every good work. Lord, help me. Help me possess this land. That vision that you have given me, that college, that business, that ministry, that book, that career, whatever it is that you have placed in these hands.